in a solo hiking trip gone wrong, Alec Loon was trapped on a remote mountain with multiple serious injuries in Norway's Folgefonna National Park.
He spent 6 days waiting for rescue before being evacuated by helicopter and then taken to recover in a nearby hospital.
Alec Loon is a climate reporter based out of London. He grew up in Stoughton and is a UW-Madison alum. Alec, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here.
First of all, Alec, how are you doing now with recovering from some fairly serious injuries?
Yeah, it's been a rough ride, and to be honest, the ride is still going on to an extent because, my legs are kind of still healing from all of this, and I'm still pretty incapacitated. I can walk around, take a few steps, but, you know, when I go out of the house, I go in a wheelchair, and my legs are kind of trying to recover from both breaking the femur, but then also the frostbite injuries to my feet. So yeah, it's kind of it's a lot, and it's going to take a long time to recover from. So that's the new challenge that I'm facing right now. The ride is continuing.
Well, if you're willing to relive the experience with us a little bit, you're someone who's done a lot of hiking in far northern conditions. Plus, you're reporting. What ended up happening on this hike in Norway?
Well, in short, I basically went ahead when I probably should have turned back. I had a bit of an equipment malfunction. You know, I wanted to backpack around the northern half of this glacier in this national park. So it was the first day. I headed up the valley, saw the first tongue of the glacier where, this is amazing ice fall that's coming down the mountain. There's waterfalls around it. And I kind of took a very faint path up through the brush, had to scramble a lot. I wanted to get a bit further before I camped for the night because I was going to go into the next valley the next day and I wanted to get over towards that valley. What was really the problem was, I think, was that my boot had torn apart. The sole started coming off my hiking boot. You know, it was the first day out. I really didn't want to go back to the city. So rather than turning around, I used some athletic tape that I had to tape up that sole, to tape it to the boot. But, you know, in doing that, I had this tape kind of on the bottom of the sole. So I think it reduced the traction a bit, is my hypothesis. Anyway, I was coming along this really steep slope, and suddenly I took a step and slipped, and I'm not sure exactly how I slipped, but the next thing I knew, I was flying down the mountain. First I was sliding, then I was rolling, then I was bouncing off of rocks and stuff and just picking up more and more and more speed. And I thought, this is it. This is the moment. This is really, really bad. You know, this is like what you see in the movies or read about in books. You know, this is the start of something really bad.
So you were there ultimately 6 days. Broke a femur, among other injuries. What kind of things over the course of that were going through your mind as you were, A, trying to stay alive, and B, hoping to be found in this remote area?
Yeah, so my fall came to an end when I crashed into a rock and snapped my femur in half. Also fractured my pelvis, fractured a couple vertebrae in my back. So basically, yeah, I kind of grabbed my backpack, made sure I had that with me, slid down the mountain a little bit more. And just then, you know, once I had come to a full stop, put my head on my backpack and just passed out. When I woke up the next morning is when I really took stock of the situation. And I looked up the mountain and I saw that some of my gear was kind of spread out. And so I thought, okay, I need to get up to my stuff and find my cell phone because I've got my backpack with me, but there's more stuff up the mountain. And that's, you know, that I tried to scoot up the mountain, but I just couldn't. It was too painful and didn't have enough force to push myself up the mountain. So I ended up having to just stay exactly where I was, basically. I thought, okay, well, I'm probably going to have to just stay here and wait for rescue to come, essentially, because I can't move out. And so then I just started thinking about, you know, logically kind of what I needed to do next. I had my camping gear in my backpack, took out my sleeping pad, inflated that, took out my sleeping bag so I had something to keep me warm at night. And I knew that I was going to have to last 4 days because it was going to be, it was 4 days until my flight home. But, you know, yeah, of course there was a lot, there were a lot more adventures in store over what ended up being 6 days up on the mountain.
What other adventure sticks in your mind over that obviously very painful and difficult 6 days?
So the first problem was the water, because my water had come out also out of my backpack when during the fall. So I didn't have anything to drink, and it was pretty hot. It was pretty sunny, warm weather the first 3 days. So I just got thirstier and thirstier, and it was, I had a bunch of granola bars and some peanuts and some snacks that I could eat, but it, my mouth was so dry, I couldn't even, the granola just kind of turned to cement in my mouth. I couldn't even swallow it, you know, and I couldn't move, couldn't go get water. So what I ended up doing was peeing in my water pouch and drinking my own urine just to get some fluids in me. So that kept me going the first couple days. Then on the fourth day, it started raining, and a storm moved in. And so, yeah, I went from being hot and dry to being kind of cold and wet. But the key thing is that the storm kept the different rescuers from making it up to me, because, you know, as on that fourth day when I didn't make that flight, my my wife Veronica raised the alarm. Norway's search and rescue, which is service, which is run by the military there, was also flew out on that night when the alarm was raised. But it was such bad weather, they couldn't really do much. And then on the next day, the storm was so bad that they couldn't fly at all. So that's why it took until the sixth day for, and until there was a little clear, there was a little break in the clouds. I remember seeing it. There was just the gray, dark cloudiness parted just a little bit, and there was a little bit of sun. And that was when the helicopter was able to come up the mountain and start scanning the mountain for me. And that was a incredible moment I'll never forget, where I heard this helicopter flying up the valley. It came up over the ridge, started scanning the mountain pretty close to me, a couple hundred yards away, but it didn't see me. And I started waving and yelling. And, you know, I remember hearing this kind of heavenly music behind the helicopter, because I'd been hearing these kind of auditory hallucinations, you know, thinking that I was hearing people talking nearby. And so when that helicopter arrived, I heard like heavenly music, like this was my salvation. But then the helicopter actually turned around and flew away. And I thought, okay, this is, you know, either they didn't see me and gave up, or they're just getting fuel and they're going to come back. And so that was the final adventure, was when the helicopter flew away. And so at that point I said, okay, either that was my last shot, or my last shot is about to happen when the helicopter comes back. So I took off my rain jacket, so I'd be in my red puffy jacket to be a bit more visible. And I put my red bandana on top of my tent pole to make kind of a flag. And then about 40 minutes later, the helicopter came back, and I was waving this bandana, waving at the helicopter. And then must have been 5-10 minutes, I was waving and yelling. And then finally I saw the door of the helicopter, the side door opened up, and I saw somebody wave at me. And that's when I knew it was finally going to be over.
That's a feeling I can't imagine. What was in your brain when you finally realized, okay, they see me and they're coming for me?
I think the main thing was just relief that I was going to see my family again. That's really what had kept me going the whole time. You know, I really tried to focus on the tasks at hand and not think too much about what ifs or hypotheticals, not let my mind kind of wander, or I'd drive myself insane. But the one thing I did really think about was that, you know, if I would die up on this mountain right now, my biggest regret would be not being able to spend more time with my family and friends.
Alec, I'm glad you came back, and thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Alec Loon grew up in Stoughton. He's a climate reporter and UW-Madison alum based out of London. We talked about his hiking accident in Norway over the summer and his recovery since then. Have you had a scary moment hiking in the wilderness? Or maybe some advice to help keep other people safe out there? Tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.